The epistle reading is from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. As for you, continue in the things you have learned and about which you have become convinced. You know from whom you learned them, and that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, well-equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, whether it is convenient or not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and teaching. For there will come a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, because they have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in line with their own desires. They will also turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. As for you, keep a clear head in every situation. Bear hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Paul says in our epistle reading, Timothy, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, well-equipped for every good work. This statement about the Scriptures being God-breathed or inspired is especially important and relevant to us in our time. At other times in history, this statement about the Scriptures wouldn't be controversial among Christians. In our time, though, the question of whether the Scriptures are God-breathed, that is, divinely inspired, as Paul says, is not accepted by all Christians or by all Christian churches. Those who hold to this passage, that the Scriptures are inspired, will go about being a Christian in one way. Those who do not believe this will do what they do in a very different way. If the Scriptures are inspired and truthful, then the Scriptures will determine your beliefs and actions. If they are uninspired or untruthful or unuseful, then there's no reason to feel bound by anything that they might say. Of all the controversies that divide churches today, the inspiration and truthfulness of the Scriptures has to be way at the top of the list. So today, let's first deal with how we should think about the Scriptures being inspired. Whether the Scriptures are inspired and truthful is an article of faith. It is not something that can be tested with any experiments or proved with any rational or mathematical formulas. As an article of faith, either what the Scriptures say is from God and truthful, or it is not. Let's consider a few examples from the Scriptures. Either God sent the flood to destroy the earth, or he did not. Either God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, or he did not. Either God caused the iron axe head to float in the Jordan River, or he did not. We could, of course, go on. Anything and everything that the Scriptures say could be doubted. I've purposely picked these because lots of people have problems believing them. Physicists and meteorologists, might have a big problem with a worldwide flood. Ethicists, philosophers, and theologians might have a big problem with God demanding Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And God causing an axe head to float in water, well, that just seems like a waste of a miracle. So, what we can see from just these few examples is that doubting what the Bible says is not unusual. You don't have to be super sophisticated to doubt what the Bible says. In fact, what is unusual is when people simply believe what the Bible says. Doubt and unbelief, in fact, are the default and normal condition for mankind after the fall into sin. The Bible itself says this. Jesus says that no one can believe in him unless the Father himself has drawn him or her to that faith. Believing in Jesus as the Christ cannot be naturally known. It has to be revealed from God the Father. Paul says that the natural man is hostile to God and to God's revelation. The only way anyone can truly believe is by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is summed up nicely by our catechism with its explanation of the third article of the Creed when it says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit works and causes me to believe. So if the Bible says stuff that you find hard to believe, you shouldn't be surprised. And you certainly shouldn't regard your doubt or unbelief as a sign of greater intelligence or sophistication. Doubting is about the easiest thing to do in the world. We've been doing it almost since the very beginning. The serpent asked Eve, did God really say, isn't it possible that you human beings have misconstrued that? Believing that God's word is uninspired and untruthful and unuseful is a very old accomplishment. Adam and Eve did it already, way back when. Ever since then, there has been no shortage of unbelievers. The majority, in fact, has always been unbelievers instead of believers. Thus, you should not believe that you are doing anything cool or unusual when you doubt what the scriptures say. Nor should you believe that you are on the right side of history. This also is very commonly believed by those who think that the Bible must be uninspired and untruthful. We are given the impression by the way that history is taught that folks used to believe in all kinds of childish and ridiculous things, but now, thank our lucky stars, we have gotten much wiser. Science and technology are used as a kind of proof for our superiority over those who lived previously. Hundreds of years ago, people didn't burn nearly as much fuel as we're able to burn today, and they didn't accumulate nearly as much stuff as we've been able to accumulate, and so we must be much smarter. There is an assumption that whatever that old Bible might say has somehow been disproven. This is not true. None of the words or actions or events of the scriptures have been disproven. How could they be disproven? How can anyone prove or disprove anything that has happened in the past? It is always going to be an article of faith. Either what has happened can be believed or disbelieved, but there's no incontrovertible proof one way or the other. And to claim otherwise is dishonest. Even the very idea that we are superior to the people of the past is very overstated. If you read the Bible, you will find that we're not very different from the people that you find there. We're not very different from Adam and Eve. We're not that different from the people at the time of Moses. At all times in history, there have been people who have believed in what God has revealed and people who have disbelieved. The Bible itself reports, for example, how the people with Moses simply couldn't believe that God would take care of them. When Christians or Christian churches do that today, where they quit believing in God, they're basically doing the same thing. If Christians and Christian churches don't believe that the scriptures are inspired or truthful, they're just doing what the people did at the time of Moses. People not believing should never be surprising. What should be surprising is when those who claim to be Christians allow this unbelief in their midst to go unchallenged, or even to allow that thought to be presented as some kind of sophistication and advancement growing out of the dark old ages. This is the strange thing about our times. There are groups of people who want to be known as Christians, but they do not want the scriptures to be determinative. They believe that other sources of knowledge, for example, the conclusions of history, are much more reliable, and they trump the scriptures whenever these contradict one another. Even though these folks believe in other things besides the God who has spoken in the scriptures, they're allowed to remain in the churches. And as time goes on, they take them over. These churches that allow unbelief in the scriptures to be taught and defended end up being very different from those churches that insist upon the truthfulness of the scriptures. Our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, requires its pastors and teachers and members to believe in the scriptures. We had something of a civil war over this issue in the 1970s called Seminex. Our St. Louis Seminary was split in two over this issue. This was a difficult and painful fight. It divided the synod, it divided congregations, it divided schools, it even divided families, some of the family going one way, the rest of the family going the other. But it ended up being a great blessing for our church, having this come to a head. Professors, pastors, and teachers who no longer believed in the scriptures were, by and large, forced out. Then they went and got together with some other Lutherans, and they formed in 1988 the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The ELCA does not require belief in the scriptures. It shares our name of being Lutheran, but we are very different from one another. They cannot give any firm answer to the question of whether the scriptures are inspired and inerrant. They do not believe that, I do not believe that they even require a firm answer when it comes to whether Jesus rose from the dead. Since the scriptures do not need to be believed or regarded as a reliable guide, you can be sure that they will never fight for those things in the scriptures that contradict our modern sensibilities. What the Bible says, for example, about men being pastors and leaders in the congregation, they won't fight for that. Or that husbands are to be heads of their families, Such talk is an abomination to them. They will not allow themselves to be bound by anything in the scriptures, but they simply go wherever the cultural winds might blow. In fact, at their 2019 churchwide assembly, they passed a resolution by over 97%, 97%, that faith in Jesus Christ is no longer required. They rejected and shamed a delegate who offered a resolution that had Jesus' own words in it, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That they practically unanimously rejected and spoke down to this delegate who offered it. What the tragic history of the ELCA shows is that unbelievers are not content just to deny the flood or the making of iron float in water. Eventually, these things will strike out at the very foundation of our faith as Christians. Previous generations, I'm quite sure, in the ELCA would have been horrified by the actions that were taken at the 2019 churchwide assembly. But, as Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Once the principle that the scriptures are inspired and inerrant is given up, a principle that comes from Paul himself in our reading today, then any and every statement of the scriptures is open to doubt. Paul speaks rather directly to all of this in our epistle reading this morning. First of all, he answers the question of whether salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. He says to Timothy, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul says that the Scripture is what taught Timothy this wisdom of salvation. These Holy Scriptures say that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and not in any other religions. We must not despise what Paul says next either. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, well-equipped for every good work. Scripture is breathed out by God. It is inspired. God has breathed into it. That means that Scripture is the communication of God's will to us. Furthermore, because it is God-breathed, it is useful. It corrects, it rebukes, it trains us in righteousness. The Holy Spirit in that word causes us to have faith in Jesus the Savior. Unbelief in Jesus, unbelief in the Scriptures, has always been common, ever since the very beginning. Don't be taken in by the story that somehow the Bible has been disproved. All that has happened is what has already been happening from the very beginning. God's enemies sow doubt with the question, "Did God really say that? If you were God, is that how you would do things?" It is always wisdom that is promised. Alienation from the only true God of the Scriptures is what ends up actually getting delivered. Don't buy it. The Scriptures testify of Jesus, the one who overcame the serpent, the Redeemer of sinners. This you will see, as Paul also says in our reading, when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead. Then you will know that Jesus' rising from the dead is not some fact that can be believed or disbelieved, but is in fact your very salvation. Because he lives, you will live also. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.